Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Hypno Fairy Godmother Show with Shirley Yance, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, all, and welcome to the Hypno Fairy Godmother Show. I'm so glad that you found me today. So remember to tell all your friends where they can find me too. As you can tell, I have a little bit of a cold today. Nothing to worry about. I am Shirley, clinical hypnotherapist, coach, and speaker here in Southern California. And I've been a glittering rainbow girl going way, way, way back. My specialty is actually working with the LGBTQIA community, BDSM, kink communities, anybody that kind of feels like maybe they're kind of on the outside a little bit. I'm here for you, and I wouldn't have it any other way. So let's hope to have a little fun, maybe get a little ideas, bring a smile to your face, maybe a little giggle to your heart. We're doing good. Hope y'all had a good weekend. So by now, if you have been listening to me, you know how this show starts. Come on, everybody. Make sure you're in that safe place. You know where that's at. That's anywhere that's not on the road, moving, safe place. So why don't you take that deep breath, hold it in, and exhale with that smile. See, even with a cold, I can exhale with a smile, and so can you. So now we're going to do part two. You know I love part two the best, because part two came from my buddy Roger, and the fact that he lets me use it, I love this. So come on, everybody, let's wiggle those toes, wiggle, wiggle, in your shoes, out of your shoes. I'm more of an out of a shoe kind of girl. Wiggle those toes. Now wiggle your butt. Come on, wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Come on, I know you can wiggle. Because I have never seen anybody be able to wiggle their butt, clinch their buns, whatever you need to do, and still look grumpy. I have to tell you, you can't do it wrong. You're just doing it. And now for this last part, one more short affirmation. Take it in that deep breath. Hand right here on your chest so you could feel how deep that is, because you want to make sure that these are really nice, nice cleansing breaths. And as you exhale, just tell yourself, you got this. You got this. It's going to be okay. Those short little affirmations to keep you going, you know? Now, you know, you got a good feeling going on. You've loosened up everything from your ankles and your legs and your core and your shoulders. And you know me, if I get a chance, I'm going to roll my head. Although maybe not too much today, or else who knows what my nose will do. Do you also wanted to make sure that before we get going, full stop today, that, you know, I want to thank my Patreon people. You guys have been great. You know, shout outs to the show for, you know, my Bambit app, for Tamiza, who makes the best sugar-free and gluten-free treats everywhere. You can find her online, Tamiza's Treats. She's fabulous. And my newest Patreon people person, thank you very much, because dear, how I make this show happen. So good afternoon. Now that we have all the paperwork, I guess, all the necessities taken care of. So the longer this pandemic keeps going on and people have to decide whether how they're going to keep moving forward. You just got to keep moving forward. And it's been interesting to see what people are doing in their spare time, if you have any spare time. Now, some people are essential workers that we love and we hold very dear. May not have a lot of spare time, you know, and I know a lot of you are, you know, working, or you're working from home, you're working at a place, you're also teaching, you know, kids online. You're going a little bit crazy, but, you know, sometimes you have to do stuff for you. Yes, you. Because as we know, when you're flying, the air drops and they tell you to put on the mask on yourself before anybody else. Same basic rules apply. If you aren't taking care of you, then you're not going to be that much good to anybody else. So, I have seen some interesting things happen during this pandemic time. I have seen people begin and end a project short amount of time. I have seen people tell me that this is their time. They're gonna go for their dream. They're gonna do it. They can feel it. And then boom. 2 weeks later, I have no incentive. Maybe it wasn't that important to me. And, I'm out. Then I have seen some people do some amazing things during this pandemic time. Taking extra classes, enrollment, all the things that I've told you to do so that you can, start building upon yourself. That is the most important thing. I know I like to tell you that you're the most important thing out there, and I mean it. So, last week we kind of talked a little bit about my Weeble Kung Fu. Now, I believe in doing life by the ways of the Weeble Kung Fu. These are things that, if you remember the Weebles, this toy that I used to love, still do, they used to weeble and wobble but not fall down. That's how you handle life. That's how you handle your dreams. May come a little this way, may go a little this way. This isn't for easy for everybody. This isn't easy for anybody. I can't think of anybody who has started out with a dream or, this is what I want to do. And it's just been super easy. Think of yourself as a weeble. I know I do. So, and I realize that I've also talked to you, wonderful people, about becoming the person that you wish you would have had growing up, which is something that I'm still striving for. But what about becoming the person you wish you were now? I know, crazy. Because thinking back in kindergarten, remember kindergarten, first grade? Teachers always had you sit there and they'd go, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" Are you that person? Did you end up the person that you said you wanted to be when you grew up? If you have, yes, go you. Congratulations. I'm very proud of you. Not many people actually, and I actually know of someone who has said that they wanted to be the exact same thing for as long as I have known her. And she followed this dream and she is still pursuing this dream. And, I honestly believe she's going to make it. She's a rarity, but she is steadfast. She has always said this is what she wanted to do. So go her. Those are the people that I hold up and I go, "Look what she did. Okay, now there's you." But when I was asked this question in kindergarten, teacher had us all sitting around the little table. "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And I said, "I want to be a jammer for the T-Birds." I was so into roller derby. I wanted to play roller derby. And as concerned as my teacher was, she may have been more concerned had I said, "I want to be a hypnotherapist on the radio." Although you never know with her. The first thing you need to do is become the person that you want to be. And while you're becoming the person that you want to become, or you're closer, that will help you become that person you wish you would have had. I know it sounds a little complicated, but work with me here. So we all kind of ask, do you want to be the best you? If you don't, then cool. Mission's a success. But I'm guessing that you actually, do want to think that you want to be the very best you, because who wouldn't want to be the best you? Yeah. You know, the biggest lie, though, that we hear is that if you just work hard and steadfast, that you could be whatever you want. The world is yours. Well, that's a lot harder said than done, because, you know, you could work really hard at something and you could be the best at that something. The problem is that you hate that something. So I can say I want to be the best penny counter in the whole wide world. And I think down, I get them going, everything's good. I am the best penny counter in the whole world. The problem is, I don't like pennies. I don't like counting. I don't like any of that. Great, now I'm the best at something I don't like. Hey. So, the second worst thing that happens in school is that they tell you that you're either this up here, or they tell you that you're kind of farther down. They kind of track you, which I realized when I realized that schools did this, this was really disturbing to me, because somewhere in about fifth or sixth grade, you will take a test, and which is only good for kids that are really good at taking tests, that will tell you whether they want to kind of put you on this upper course, you know, where you're like on your way to college, or whether they push you down and they train you for more real world things. Well, honestly, I do not believe in high school that they teach you real world anything. They need to, and they used to, but, you know, so, you know, the fact that schools will actually tell you, or grown-ups or people of authority will tell you that from a test that you took, that somebody else determined that you are either headed on your way to college, or, you know, you're just headed out to the real world. Well, I know kids that I went to school with that were on the go to college ramp, didn't want to go to college. And I knew kids that were on the lower ramp. All they had ever wanted to do was go to college. And it made it a lot harder for them either way, because either the expectations were too high or the expectations were too low. So, you know, the first thing that you have to figure out now, since you didn't necessarily get that training earlier, and, you know, if you love to work with your hands and you want to go to a technical school, or I have friends that are cosmetologists, I have friends that are mechanics, I have computer friends, I have artist friends, you know, these are people that didn't want to go to a big college. It was never their, you know, and people would go, oh, but you have such good grades, you have to da-da-da. Well, now that you're an adult, you don't have to listen to anybody. And it's never, ever, ever too late to enhance yourself, become better. But to do that, to become that best person, that best possible you, the first thing we need to have is a purpose. I know this is where it gets kind of sucky, because you have to figure out what your purpose is. And, you know, I told you guys, you know, a couple of weeks ago, my purpose just kept changing. Everything I used to say I was really good at just didn't quite happen, or what I loved or what I thought I was good at. You know, don't expect things. Listen to your heart. It's kind of weird that way. That when you're trying to become the best you so that you can become the best for other people, you have to decide, honestly, what is best for you. You know, what do you want to put your efforts in? What is that purpose? You know, I changed my career at 50. You know, I don't expect to be the best hypnotherapist in the world. What I do expect, though, is for me to be the absolute best hypnotherapist for my clients. Sounds weird, doesn't it? Now, I could be the best person for my clients. But, you know, these are my dreams. This is my purpose. So my purpose isn't to be the best overall. My purpose is to be the best me. And I am the best hypnotherapist for my clients. And I work really hard on that. But make sure that what you decide your purpose is, do not set yourself up for disappointment. Because sometimes we set out goals that we know we're going to fail at. You know, did you know that, you know, you could set yourself up and you could tell yourself that I want to be an astronaut. Well, that's great if you want to be an astronaut. Problem is, you probably should have started that high school, junior high. There's a lot of school that goes with that. But, you know, you could be the best listener. You could be the best friend. You could be the best parent. You could even be the best employee. Being the best you doesn't mean you have to start a Fortune 500 company or be rich and famous. Being the best you is just being the best you. And I don't know who that person is because I'm just trying to be the best me. The next thing you have to worry about is courage. Yes, courage. If the cowardly lion can get it, you can too. And if it doesn't scare you, what you really want to do or what you want to become or what you want to, you know, take on as your purpose, if it doesn't scare you, aim higher. Because, you know, that means that you're aiming way too low if you go, oh yeah, I can do that tomorrow. Well, okay. You know, and when I make a dream or when I decide to start something new, you know, you make little goals. These are the things that we've talked about, the little goals. The things of, you know, little accomplishments. Today, I did this. This is my list for this week. Okay, I did those things. It doesn't say I'm going to be the best by the end of the week. No. But it also doesn't mean if I don't do it by the end of the week, I'm a complete failure. So we set little goals to that bigger goal. So what I'm saying is, if the big goal doesn't scare you, you know, and maybe it scares you just a little bit. Well, if it scares you a little bit, then how do you need to adjust that enough to make it to where you scares you a lot? Not terrifying. We don't want you to be terrified of trying something. But nervous. Whenever I start anything new, oh my Lord, I feel so bad for my friends and family because I'm constantly freaking out. And they know this. But they also know that I'm ready to go. Not going to stop. I'm not going to give up. Just going to keep going. You know, that Weeble Kung Fu mentality. You know, it might wobble a little bit here and there, but boom. You know, you just got to keep going. The next thing, embrace your fear of failure. Well, this is a huge one. Because while you're trying to become the best you, and while you're trying to become the best help for someone else, let's just work on you for right now. But while you're trying to become the best you, that fear of failure is mental and it's emotional. And it is the most common reason that we don't start things, you know? But if, you know, that fear of failure can also help you succeed. Depends on how you look at it. Now, are you afraid that if you try it, it doesn't work, then you'll never have a good life and everything is horrible and that's it? Well, okay, that's debilitating fear of failure. It's never that bad. It really isn't. But maybe you go, okay, well, if I try this and it doesn't work, that's one more thing I could check off that I know I don't ever want to do again. Kind of weird that way. So you can look at the fear of failure as your way of trying things, and then you get to decide, you know, are you trying this? And then you go, that's it, I'm out. Tried it once, didn't work. Or you could try it. You could go and decide whether, you know, depending on how things happen, you could say, I'm really good at this. Or maybe you're like, maybe I could get better. So you may want to try it twice. I know. It's weird with this screen. My fingers keep going in and out. I'm not sure how many fingers I'm actually pointing. But that was two. You can actually try it twice. And then you can make that decision. Some things I've tried and I've gone, oh, that was interesting. Okay, don't ever want to do that again. And other things I've tried once and I went, not real good at it, but I want to keep trying. Now, for me, that's that little purpose. That's that little thing that I tried. And in this case, it was a crafting thing because, you know, I'm a crafter. And I went, they could do this. I could do this. We all say that when we see stuff. I could do that. And you try it and you go, wow, yeah, I can't do that. Or maybe I should try to find some help so that I could get better at it, which is actually what I did. But, you know, it's okay to have that fear of failure. It is just fine. Because we spend most of our days mind wandering. You know, you've been listening to me, then you know that we do, you know, that auto-hypnosis, that driving home, not even knowing how you got there. Sitting at your desk, staring at a screen or a book or whatever, and you don't realize how long you've been staring at that page. It's crazy town, but you're wandering. You're not accomplishing. You're not growing. You're not failing, but you're not getting anywhere either. So we don't want to mind wander. That's why, you know, if your brain starts to get a little hazy, get a little fuzzy, or, you know, I have a standard rule. Don't do anything for more than an hour and a half, 2 hours tops before you stop, get up, walk around, go get a drink of water, walk around, you know, dance around the house, do whatever you need to do, but get yourself back centered again, because it is really hard to accomplish anything, whether that's a minor goal, a major goal, deciding what your purpose is, deciding, you know, the courage that you have. If your brain is somewhere else, it just makes it really hard. The other problem is that we have in some careers is actually the imposter syndrome, of which a lot of people, it seems, have this just as much as the fear of failure. You know, it's kind of one of those things. Not every career can you fake it till you make it. With imposter syndrome, you go and you do that training and you get that knowledge and the skills, and you still don't have the courage to step out and do it. So what have you done? You just stepped right back in. So you just keep learning and you just keep getting more skills. But you can't be the best you unless you've actually done stuff yourself. You know, you can't say, you know, I want to be the best at this, or I want to help people with this, and I'm going to train and train and train and train and train. But if you're not willing to get out there and do it, then what does all that training? And that goes into that imposter syndrome. It goes into the fear of failure. What if I do it wrong? Okay, well, unless you're surgeon, doctor, you know, you have some life-altering skill, the worst you could do is make things a little awkward. when I, you know, I see a lot of people that will teach classes and they'll teach those classes because they're too scared to actually do what they're teaching. I've come across this a lot in the field that I'm in. And it's like that with a lot of them. Once you look something up, then you start getting people, and it brings you self-doubt because it's like, business not going well enough, I can teach you how to do this. This isn't going well enough, I can teach you how to do that. I can teach you how to do that. First thing I'd ask them is, well, what do you do? And if what they do is teach you, then you might want to second guess why they're teaching you. You know, they always say those that can't do teach. Well, I don't actually believe that, because I believe that a lot of the teachers that I have had that are also very respectable in their field. I'm just telling you to watch out for the people that say, I could teach you this, but you never see them actually do anything. So, you know, be a little, you know, more about that one. And I love it when they say, well, if you want to get going and you want to try something new, I seem to be having an issue on the side over here. If you want to, you know, you got to step out of the box. I got to tell you, I need to find this box and I need to step on this box and I need to munch this box. Because I have to tell you, I have stepped out of the box. I have stepped through the box. I have kicked the crap out of the box. I have gone through it so many times there shouldn't even be a box left. And I'm sure many of you are like that too. But guess what? They're going to keep telling us to step out of the box. So if they tell you that, go show me the box and I shall step. It's just having that 10 seconds of crazy, that 10, 15 minutes of just go for it. Just go for it. You know, I would try weird stuff in school. During the playground, I would try, you know, people would go, you can't do that. And I'd go, watch me. And then I'd try it. I have fallen on my head. I have broken bones. But you know what? I didn't ever want somebody to tell me, you can't. You're just not right. You know, you don't fit the part. You don't look like the part. You don't sound like the part. You know what? That part is my box. The looking like the part, feeling like the part, sounding like the part. They say step out of the box. Well, that's my box. I don't, you know, talk like everybody. I don't look like everybody. I don't do things like everybody. But I keep going forward because every time, you know, I do that and I have that courage and I try and I fail and I go and I have my temper tantrum and then I'm better. And then I move on to the next thing. You know, finding your purpose, the hardest part of finding the best you and becoming the best you is finding your purpose. You know, sounds a little strange, but, you know, and you have to be worried about failure. You have to have the courage to do it. You have to have, you know. But I'm telling you, if you don't, you know, have what you need, if you're not willing, you got to be willing to step off the ledge. You just do. Because when people met me, when I first started, when I got out of school, people never would have thought. I had, you know, I still tell people that I graduated from college summa cum laude. But, you know, I just kept going. And you can too. It's finding you. It's knowing that purpose. You know, it's don't just be your best. You know that if you fail, you fail. But you gotta have control of what your brain's doing. You have to have control of where your brain's at. Now, you want to have time where you're not doing anything and you're just doing brain dead stuff. That's perfect. You know, big thing of popcorn, Netflix a little, whatever you do, just make that your downtime, completely downtime. But when you schedule in, this is my time, this is my purpose time, this is me figuring out, you know, this is me setting my brain straight. I'm not going to wander anymore. Not going to be held back. Don't feel like being held back. You know, when your brain does, you know, kind of wander off a little bit, where does it go? Think about that. Where does your brain go? Does it go to the past? Does it go to the future? You never know. As far as, you know, that fear of failure and that fear, a lot of times what people will do is, and I love this, is that you'll see a coach at T-ball game, the league game, and the coach will come up and go, I'll bet you by the end of today, you've all, you know, hit this many balls and you've all made it to this base and everybody here has scored. And, you know, when they give them that encouragement, everybody does better because you put it out there. You've actually made that a possibility. Once you say it out loud, today I will do this. Or I've actually seen it where one parent will go over and tell their child that they know that today's the day. This is it. You're going to do great. You're going to be the best you've ever been. And other kids will hear that. And even though it may not have been their parent that said it, that still puts it out there. So not only is the initial child going to do well, all the kids that heard it are going to do well too, because now they've heard that this one is going to have the best day ever. So now everybody else is stepping up their game. It's how we look at things. It's how we get talked to. And it doesn't matter whether you're a kid doing your first T-ball game or you're an adult going in for a big meeting. When you walk in that door, you know, you're taking that chance. You're having that fear of failure, you know. Tell yourself, I got this. You know me in affirmations. Come on. You know, tell yourself, I got this, I got this, I got this. Tell yourself 100 times or 1,000 times or however many times you need to say it. You know, next good thing is expect luck. Yep, luck. There are two different types of people. There are those that believe that luck is a stable form and you're either lucky or you're not lucky. That's it. And then there are people who feel like luck kind of comes and goes. Never really sticks around, pretty unpredictable. And you're like, well, why does that even matter? Well, it turns out that people who have that stable form of luck and absolutely feels that you're either lucky or you're not, felt more in control. And they used that to take their advantage. The people who saw luck as simply fleeting here, there, whatever, they don't, you know, they just kind of go, well, if it happens, it happens, and they aren't as successful. So believing in luck, how lucky are you? How lucky do you think you are? Because you're lucky in one thing. Does that mean you can't be lucky in other things? You know, think of all the reasons that you're lucky. Whether you're having a bad day, a bad month, a bad few years, think of the good things. There are things that in your life are lucky. Do you have a house or at least a place to live? We don't have to do the house. But, you know, Do you have friends? Do you, you know, is there something that makes you feel lucky? You know, every time you take a walk outside, do you notice new flowers? Do you take a sketchbook with you and know that you just might see that one thing that makes you want to sit down, you know, and draw it out? You know, you are that lucky person. But, you know, that totally depends on how you look at it. Do you look at it as, I'm either lucky or I'm not? And even if you say I'm not, think about it. There are times when you've gone, wow, I found $5 on the floor. You know, you're not doomed to fail because one thing doesn't happen. I know I have felt that way. I know we have all felt that way. You know, and then, you know, your expectations. Think about your expectations. Now, if I say, like I said, I'm going to be the best in the whole wide world, but, you know, I didn't start until late, maybe then, you know, lower my expectations a little bit. But, you know, be reasonable. You know, be reasonable in your expectations. You know, be reasonable in your timeline. You know, we don't know how long this pandemic is going to last. So some people are going to end up teaching a lot longer from their houses, which I know no parent really wants to do. Unless you're already a teacher and you're really good at it. But, you know, figure out, you know, what your expectations are. Figure out, you know, why you want to, you know, do what you're doing to open up. You know, this is your chance. What have you done since this pandemic has started? Is it something that you felt has given you luck? Or maybe it's a new beginning. Maybe it's new training. Maybe it's a new start. Maybe it's a chance to, you know, I know somebody that sold their house, bought a motorhome, and just decided, I'm out. I just want to travel. I don't want to work anymore. I just want to travel. You know what? They are living their best life. And this is your chance to live your best life. You know, high achievers. Some high achievers are that way because people push them. Some people are high achievers because nobody's ever pushed them. You know, expectations, you know, can't be avoided, but they can be changed. What people think you should do, what people think you shouldn't do. You know, it's, we're going to be doing that whole becoming the best you. And think of it this way too. By you becoming the best you, doesn't mean somebody else is becoming less of them. You know, if you have the opportunity to go on this journey of being the best you, and you can take somebody with you, you know, it's kind of a tag team. You know, that's also a good thing. You know, if you're working with a counselor, if you're working with a group, or maybe you're the kind of person that just is like, I got to do this on my own. It'll mean more if I do it on my own. It might mean more if you realize that it's okay to ask for help. I know that's a crazy one, you know, and, you know, look at your surroundings. You want to become the best you. So, are you hanging around with the best people? Are your adult friends the people that you need to be around? We all have toxic friends. Those we need to keep at a distance. Because you want to hang out while you're trying to be the best you. You can't be the best you if you're hanging around with people that aren't the best them. I know. Kind of deep. So anyway. Now, we've all heard of a placebo effect. That whole, here, let me give you this, and it's going to make you feel incredibly better. And so they'll give you a sugar tablet or, you know, a sweet tart or whatever, and tell you that it's something great that's going to make your whole world change. And that is a placebo, because usually those work. It's interesting, because a lot of it is mind over matter. But did you know that there is also the nocebo effect? Yep. It's kind of weird why they would have one and not the other. But the nocebo effect is actually giving you something and telling you that this bad thing is going to happen. You know, people, you know, were told that it's usually in research groups, and they'll tell one group, you know, when you feel this, it's probably going to give you a headache. And they tell this group, you're going to feel fine. You're going to touch this. You're going to feel great. The group that they tell that will probably have a headache, most of them do. And that's called the nocebo, because, you know, this is, it avoids when we're told we can't do something, we tend to believe them. So in the medical field, or in most of our lives, if we're told you can't do this, you won't be able to do this, you can't handle this, this isn't going to happen. Or if a doctor tells you, you know, you'll never have full range of motion in that, or you'll never sit up straight, or you'll never have a job with your arms and hands. It's up to you. It is seriously up to you. You know, do you want to listen to that and look at it as, okay, that's my challenge. That is my challenge. Or do you want to look at it and go, okay, well, he should know more than I do. And if somebody knows more than I do, then they must know what's right. And so that's what's going to happen. It's called living your diagnosis. And I always tell people, never live your diagnosis. I have been told by many doctors many things, none of which I have actually let happen. You know, so, you know, take a minute, and while you're thinking of all the good things and your luck, but think about, try to identify, what are those nocebos? You know, what's your weakness? Is it permanent? Who's holding you back? What are you going to do about it? Do you see your failures and mistakes as one-time occurrences, which we all have, or patterns of occurrences? Those are the things that we need to watch out for. You know, self-awareness leads to improved performance. You know, your competitors, you know, are avoiding them. The people that are doing stuff, you know, they're avoiding those. You just have to figure out your way, your Weeble kung fu way around the situation. Because, you know, as Weebles, we don't fall down. So we just sort of make a really, really high turn, boom, get around that problem. You know, seek out the emotional stuff and put it into them. Whether you need to see, you know, whether you get help in counseling, whether you just have a friend you could talk to, you know, it's back to writing these things down. It's, you know, we started with finding your purpose, not letting things hold you back. You know, do stuff that you love to do. You know, if you have an important meeting coming up and you haven't figured out all of it, and then you just decide, well, you know what, I'm going to go in and wing it. I got most of it. And then it turns out bad. Okay, so whose fault was that? Was that your fault for not finishing it when you knew you had it? Or is it not your fault because there's nothing you could do about it, because you got tired, because you got really busy, because. I know these are things that really suck sometimes, but when you're trying to make you and you're trying to make the best you, sometimes it's the hard stuff that sucks the most. So a study that this Journal of Psychology did, researchers found out that 72% of college students admit making fraudulent excuses. That's like, dog ate my homework. In my house, it's more like bird. But, you know, so, and when you get into the habit of making those excuses after excuses, you know, all this is going to do is just hold you back. And then you're going to go, well, what happened? And you're looking for more excuses. The more excuses, the harder it is. Nobody wants to admit that, you know, they told themselves that they lied about it. No one wants to go, oh, yeah, I was this or I was that, or, you know, you either own up to it and you go, it depends on how bad you want it. It really does. If I would have known half of this stuff growing up, oh my God, my life would have been so much different. But I didn't. You know, my favorite Abraham Lincoln, things may come to those who wait, but only things left by those who hustle. Because, you know, we all got to hustle. And the last thing I want to cover really quick, is you don't have to be perfect. You just have to be you, and you just have to be great. Be great. Be great at your failures. Be great at your accomplishments. Be great at who you are. But don't look at one thing, you know, one failure as that's it. Look at that one failure and tell people, man, I screwed up on this. Don't do that, because your failure can help somebody else. You know, that's what you could do. You know, reframe yourself. You know, reframe it. Do it. You know you've got this. You know, because you've been doing it. You may not even have realized that you're the one that you've been holding on to. You're the one that people, you know, look up to. So when you say, I have a purpose, I have this, you know, you're going to be the best that you are. You're going to be the best because that's what you've been training for. But one small down isn't going to do it. Yeah, I know. It was kind of weird today. But if you're going to become, like, I'm still totally working on becoming the best possible me. And by working on the best possible me, then I am able to realize the things that I wish I would have told myself when I was younger, hence helping me become the person I wish I would have had growing up. So, you know, when I go out, get your inspiration from whomever you need to get your help and inspiration from. I use music, I use funny videos. I try to laugh at least once or twice a day. Take breaks. You know how to take your breaks. Walk around. The most important thing right now, you are allowed to leave your house. Now, with us, we have a lot of fires. And of course, yes, we do have COVID. So make sure that you're taking a little extra care of yourself. We need to do this. But when you can leave, wear your mask because you know you should. You know, take lots of water with you. If you have any kind of a breathing problem, anything like that, you know, stay at home even a little bit more now. People that the air quality is horrible. So, you know, always take care of you first. You know, I, once again, going to tell you to call your friends, run it past them, you know, call acquaintances, call a family member you haven't talked to in a while, get out, let people know that you're of your mental state at all times. You can always make an online appointment with a doctor, a psychologist, me, hypnotherapist. You know, if you miss any of my shows or you want a recap or you have something you want to tell me, you can always find me, you know, on my YouTube channel, The Hypno Fairy Godmother. My podcast is now up on Spotify and Podbean and iTunes. Hey, so, you know, you can download those. Little perks are always good. So, you know, don't stick your whole everything into that box. You know, they tell you to step out of that box. Well, I want you to crunch the box because you've already stepped out of the box. Think about it. Write everything down. Write everything down. All the good stuff. All the great stuff. Because you are the best you. So if you have any questions or comments, you know, any fun stories, anybody you think would be great on the show, contact me, hypnofairygodmother@yahoo.com. Thanks so much for tuning in this week. Tell your friends about the show. Become a Patreon person. Just remember to take that great big deep breath, hold it, and exhale with a smile. Have a good week.
You're listening to the Hypno Fairy Godmother Show with Shirley Yance, only on LA Talk Radio.